You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's now time for our regular Brexit catch-up. We're heading over to Paris. It's Justin Wong.
How are you?
Oh,
what's
you know.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's summer school.
What's going on back in Auckland?
I've got an exam today, and yet I'm here talking to you. Why am I doing that?
Because you should be doing that.
But, is it because
like
I care?
New Zealand, lots of stuff happening politics-wise, though.
Yeah, but I mean, my mind's just really thinking about law. Although it is a European Union exam, so maybe you can teach me something more than my lecturer could.
Well, yeah, probably, but I'm still finding my steps around the European Union. Because
I mean, I understand
because,
that.
You know, it's a huge institution.
I have spent 6 weeks learning an intensive course on the legal systems of the European Union, and I still kind of have absolutely no idea how it operates. And I have an exam worth 90% this afternoon.
Good luck.
But let's not get bogged down in that. So we'll start off by talking about what's going on in the UK. Overnight, we know that 7 Labour Party MPs have resigned. Why? Why have they stood down?
Right, so yeah, as you said, 7 Labour MPs have resigned this morning, European time, over their leader, Jeremy Corbyn's approach to Brexit and, in general, anti-Semitism within the Labour Party. But 7 Labour MPs resigned. This is the biggest split of the party since 4 MPs left in 1981 to form the Social Democratic Party. And yeah, that didn't end well, but I'm not going further into that. But now just on to the main points why these 7 MPs say they are leaving the party. The first one is accusations of failing to deal with anti-Semitism inside the Labour Party. And especially one of these MPs, Luciana Berger, who is Jewish, says in a press conference earlier today she is, quote, embarrassed and ashamed to stay in the Labour Party because Jeremy Corbyn and the other top Labour figures didn't, like, respond to the anti-Semitism within that has risen in the Labour Party for the past 2 or 3 years.
Those are some big claims to say that you're ashamed in your own party. I mean, how deep does the supposed anti-Semitism go? Do we know what it's actually, you know, about? Why these MPs are accusing the party leader of this?
Well, I don't think they are accusing Jeremy Corbyn himself of as being anti-Semitic, even though Corbyn himself in the past was taking photos of being next to pro-Palestinian officials, and the Conservative Party have made a big fuss of that. But there is no denying that anti-Semitism itself, it's quite big in the Labour Party right now. In fact, Corbyn last year, I think he ordered an inquiry, an overhaul of the party, and there has been at least 670 anti-Semitism reports in the past 10 months. And
that's bizarre. It seems strange.
That's a lot. It's very strange, and particularly in these in the past 2 or 3 years as well, because just in 2016, an MP was suspended. Her Labour membership was suspended for posting a map mocking Israel on Facebook, and this is another. And this may be the second one is a much bigger one. Former London Mayor Kevin Livingston, or yeah, that some listeners might know. He is a strong ally of Jeremy Corbyn, and he said on a BBC interview, and I quote, "When Hitler won his election in 1932, his policy then was that Jews should be moved to Israel. He was supporting Zionism before he went mad and ended up killing 6 million Jews," end quote. Yeah, he was later suspended by the party, but I think a couple of months afterwards, he resigned his membership because he said he is creating an unnecessary distraction.
And unlike those four other MPs you previously mentioned, these seven, they're not forming another party, that's right. They're just sitting out as independents, if I'm correct.
Yes, they are they have formed a group called the Independence Group, and they are trying to have another, and what they are saying, they want an alternative approach on other things, what's generally all around Westminster right now, especially on Brexit. And they have said they won't be joining another party, even though the Liberal Democrats have said they are more than welcome to join them. And speaking of Brexit, another thing that these seven MPs wanted to resign from the party is that they believe Jeremy Corbyn's approach to Brexit is incorrect. Just for a little bit of context, all of these seven MPs are backing for a second referendum. And one of these MPs, Mike Gapes, has said, quote, the Labour leadership is facilitating Brexit and instead of trying to help the UK continue to remain in the EU.
So obviously all of this is bad news for Jeremy Corbyn, but is it good news for Theresa May? What does it mean for her, or is it simply just a bit of a distraction for a couple of days?
Like you said, it might be, like some pundits in the UK I saw in the English newspapers, they say it might be a win for Theresa May right now, because this obviously the split in the Labour Party has taken the heat off Downing Street for now. But but other pundits also think this might be a win for Labour itself, because this is kind of a shock therapy for the top Labour brass to just see what really is going on in their own party, and might be just a good wake-up call to clean up anti-Semitism within its ranks.
That's an interesting way of thinking about it. We'll have to obviously keep an eye on how all of this progresses. Moving to France, some Gilets Jaunes, or the Yellow Vest protesters, have been called out similarly for anti-Semitism. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. I think over the weekend, a video in Paris on Saturday showed a famed French academic and philosopher. His name is Alain Finkielkraut, who is a Jew, who is Jewish, being verbally abused by Gilets Jaunes protesters in Paris. Yeah, during a Gilets Jaunes protest in Paris, with some calling him, quote, a dirty Zionist. So, just in case if you don't know who Finkielkraut is, he's very famous in France, and even though I can't explain how famous he is the one of the 40 members of the very prestigious Académie Française, which is the official authority on the usages, vocabulary, and the grammar of the French language. Yeah, so that post, one of these 40 members, after they are appointed, they are members of life, and they basically give advice on how the French language is used. So, yeah, very prestigious. And afterwards, Lelis immediately condemned the comments, President Emmanuel Macron tweeting that the actions are, quote, the absolute negations of what makes us a great nation. Interior Minister Christophe Castaner also said these scenes happening in Paris in 2019 is intolerable, and investigators in Paris have opened investigations.
Obviously, I don't mean to rush you along here, but I thought we'd better talk finally about Spain. There's been a snap election called. Do we know what's prompted this?
Yes, so in Spain, a general election will be held on April 28th, the Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez announced last Friday. So what triggered this election is Pedro Sanchez's budget was defeated last Wednesday in Parliament in Madrid. So just a very quick rundown of why the budget was defeated. So Pedro Sanchez, he's a socialist and he has been in office for only 8 months. And he is now in the history books for a while because he is the first prime minister in modern Spanish history to get into office after a motion of no confidence that threw his predecessor Mariano Rajoy out. Yeah, threw his predecessor Mariano Rajoy out. And his and Sanchez's minority government coalition is a very weak one because the Socialist Party in Spain, they only have 84 seats out of 350 in Parliament. And they are they have formed a collision with basically their worst enemies, including the far-left anti-establishment party called the Podemos, who have fought constantly with the socialists over the control of the Spanish left since 2014, as well as two Catalan pro-independence group and a Basque nationalist party. So why is Sanchez's budget defeated? It's because he can't deliver what his Catalan coalition partners want, which is an independence referendum and the releasing of the leaders of the attempted secession in 2017, even though Sanchez himself tried to talk to them nicely and promise them more stuff, such as increased autonomy. And yeah, this election will be very difficult for Sanchez because the centre-right, not only he needs to satisfy, because currently none of his coalition partners, apart from the far-left anti-establishment group, is still in line with him. You know, the Catalans didn't get what they want. So what will Sanchez do next is crucial. Will he bend towards the Catalans or the Basques? But if he does so, the centre-right opposition are already on their tail because they have already used the failed budget to attack the Madrid government, saying they are weak, because not only it worked with the Catalans who wanted independence in the first place, but it allowed them to defeat the budget, which could potentially bring Sanchez's fall and giving him probably, if he loses this election, the shortest prime ministership in Spanish history. So the outlook is everything is still very unclear.
It's only a couple of months away, so I'm sure that we'll be back in touch to talk about what actually happens with that. I've got to rush off to do something else. I'm sorry, Justin. we'll keep an eye on all of this because there's always something going on. It's always progressing, so we'll be following this up with you, I'm sure, in the coming weeks and months. But thank you very much for speaking with me again.
Of course.
Talk soon.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.